most of us are probably pretty familiar with the Lord's Prayer. But have you ever thought to stop and think about how amazing that prayer is, that we have that prayer? Have you ever thought about that? What if you had the opportunity to ask one of the greatest basketball coaches or players of all time to teach you how to shoot a basketball? Say you went up to Michael Jordan and said, "Hey, could you teach me how to shoot a basketball?" Or what if you had the chance to sit under the tutelage of one of the best chefs, you know, like the Swedish chef in the Muppets? What if he can be real? What if you had the opportunity to speak to one of the world's best fighter jet pilots and ask them to teach you how to fly? I mean, if you were able to sit under one of these people, you would probably be on the edge of your seat taking notes, trying to listen as best you could, because you're like, man, this person has some wisdom. I need to learn it, right? And you'd want to put it into practice, the advice they give you. Well, how much more should we be ready and eager to hear from Jesus? He is much more than an expert in prayer, and prayer is infinitely more important than any hobby, skill, or vocation that we can have. Prayer is absolutely indispensable to the Christian, to the believer in Christ. We can't live without prayer. Last week, if you were with us, you'll know we were in Matthew chapter 6, and we looked at verses 5 to 8 of that chapter. We focused in on Jesus and what he was teaching. And he was teaching his disciples about prayer. Now, before Jesus taught them how to pray, he first spent some time teaching them how not to pray. And I told you last week to make sure you come back this week so you learn how to pray, because that's where we're going to focus this week. But yeah, last week we focused on how not to pray. We talked about how when we're praying, when we're talking to God, we need to make sure that we are praying with the right heart attitude, with the right motive behind our prayer. And let's remember how we define prayer. What is prayer? Well, prayer is intentional communication with God, okay? Intentional communication with God. And what is communication? It's a two-way street, right? Where you talk and you listen. It's the same with God. We talk to God, we also need to listen for God. Okay? Any relationship you're in life, you'll be told, if you want to build that relationship, it's about communication, it's about talking and listening. And that's what prayer is. And last week, in looking at how not to pray, we looked at how Jesus desired for us as his followers to be people who don't just ramble on in our prayers, repeating things for repetition's sake. That we don't seek to gain attention from other people while we're praying. And when we're praying, we are actually needing to recognize that we are stepping into the throne room of grace of our Heavenly Father. We're to be focused on what we're saying, focused on what God would have us to learn or to take away from our time of prayer with him. And we do have a huge blessing of being able to pray, being able to talk and to listen to our holy God, to hear from our God, our Creator. And not only that, but God actually wants us to pray. God wants us to talk to him. And the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at today is a beautiful prayer. It's one that many people, again, like know by heart, or at least many people, if they don't know it, they can kind of follow along with it. There are many prayers recorded in Scripture, but this is probably one of the more familiar ones. And Jesus tells his disciples to use this prayer. And the prayer is one of the most important, and as I mentioned, prayer is one of the most important practices we can have as a spiritual discipline in our lives, as we build our relationship with God. So if you have your Bibles, I'd ask now if you would take them out, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be starting in verse 9 today. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer together today in this passage. Just before we read it, let's pray. God, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you that we can open your scriptures, God. We can hear you speak to us, God, through your word. We can be challenged by your word, God. And so we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us now. Challenge us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read the passage for you. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Jesus says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so, how do we approach prayer with God? Well, when we pray, we are addressing someone. Prayer has to be addressed to somebody. And Jesus begins right away telling us who we are to address our prayer to. And that is that we are to address our prayer to and pray to the only one and true God, our Father in heaven. Now, it is a humbling but simple address to start with. It teaches us a lot about how we're to approach God in prayer. And first off, the word our. It teaches us that we're to approach God as his people. When we've put our faith in Jesus Christ, we've accepted his gift of salvation, and we have become one of his followers. We are part of his people. And though we're individually saved, we are not saved to experience God only as an individual. God is building his kingdom full of people who choose to follow him. And we become part of the people of God, the family of God. And as part of God's people, it's important to pray, but not only pray alone, but pray and on ourselves, but we are to pray with and for others. Because as members of the family of God, we're called to be in fellowship with one another. We're called to be caring, loving, and living as a family of God together. And so even when we pray, and we may be by ourselves in a room like we talked about last week, we are still to be praying our Father in heaven. We should still be praying with an awareness that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And I love that about when you read through Scripture, you recognize very quickly you're a small piece. There is a much bigger picture of what God is doing in our world and has been doing and continues to do. And we get to be a part of that. And what God is doing is way bigger than ourselves. And what a blessing that is that we can even learn that in prayer. And one commentator I read this week, he kind of jokingly pointed out that when you read through the prayer, do you see I, me, or mine in there? No. And so the word our teaches us, again, we are to approach God as individuals, yes, but also we are part of a family. We're part of a family of believers praying together for God's kingdom work. And the word Father, it teaches us we are to approach God in a familiar and close manner. The prayer begins with the intimacy and the closeness of calling upon God as Father, which was Jesus' own way of addressing God. Nobody had ever addressed God like that. The word is used by children of their dad. And Jesus, who alone had that closeness of a relationship with God as his dear Father, gives his true disciples the right to be on the same level of interaction with him, calling God Father. What a blessing and a gift. How God allows us to call him Father. Now, this was a radically new approach to God that Jesus was teaching his disciples. Although the Old Testament spoke of God as the Father of Israel, as the nation, no one really addressed him personally like that as calling him Father in prayer. See, Israel rarely addressed God by his name so they would not chance saying his name in vain. They addressed God by other names, reflecting a holy distance between man and God. And in fact, God is only called Father around 10 to 15 times in the Old Testament, and never really in personal terms. But in Matthew 6, we see her alone. Jesus calls God Father 10 times. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to do the same, to pray and praise God. We're not only just part of his people, we're part of his family. And we can reach out to God, calling him Father. And this part of the address also teaches us that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for believers, for Christians. God's children have the honor to call him Father. Those who come to God through Christ are God's children. And then we can look at a book like Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 2, where it says, "For God is in heaven and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few." God is in heaven, which speaks of his infinite power and majesty. We need to balance our familiarity or closeness with God with the respect that is due him. Now, it's amazing we can call God Father, but we must remember he is our heavenly Father. And we're taught in Scripture that with our earthly fathers, we should honor and respect our earthly fathers. And we should. But how much more then should we respect and honor our heavenly Father? God is God over all the universe. We then should approach him with reverence and respect. He is our Father, and therefore we can come to him with boldness, with honesty, but at the same time come with respect and reverence. And so as we pray, our Father in heaven, he teaches us how to approach God. But what do we pray about? Well, next we come to some petitions of the prayer here. And there's actually six petitions that Jesus gives us here. The first three have to do with God and his honor. And the second three have to do with our own concerns, the three main needs we experience as humans. It's similar in a pattern to the Ten Commandments. And the first four teach us of our responsibility towards God in the Ten Commandments. And the last six teach us of our duty towards our neighbor. And so we are to pray first about God and his honor. And this is important as it teaches us God comes first. Okay? This is the same order Jesus will teach later on in the Sermon on the Mount, in this chapter in verse 33, when Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All of chapter 6 could be summed up in one sense with the words God first. And so what are the three prayers that we make concerning God? Well, first, we're to pray for God's name. God's name is to be hallowed, meaning we long for his name, his character, to be held high in the world, in people's hearts, meaning that people would honor and respect God's name. To hallow means to have reverence, to honor, to consider holy. God's name is holy, and we should always treat his name with great reverence and honor in our lives. God's name also refers to his character. It refers to all of who God is, his character, his nature, his love, his holiness. It refers to the fact that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we are to honor Jesus and the Spirit along with the Father. Now, this is not simply a prayer to have you and I alone honor God, but this is a prayer for all people everywhere to honor God. Our hearts should grieve any time that we dishonor God. And our hearts should grieve any time we see someone else dishonor God. We're to seek to give God glory, to show our adoration to God. We desire to see God glorified. His holiness is great. We saw last week as we looked at how not to pray, how the Pharisees made their own name to be the focus and chief of their prayer. And Jesus here was teaching against that. We're to begin our prayers praising God, giving glory to God before we ask or seek anything for ourselves. Let God receive our praise. And then we're to pray for God's kingdom and rule. Jesus' message in Matthew chapter 4 was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. We're also praying for the gospel message to be spread over the earth. We're praying for Jesus to return, and when Jesus will reign and rule over creation in perfect glory, peace, and righteousness. We're also praying for the kingdom of God to be realized in our own lives. And if you are saved, then the kingdom of God is in you. Simply put, we pray this prayer. We're asking Jesus to have full rule and reign in our lives. The kingdom is here. It's with us now through the Holy Spirit in the church. And God's kingdom continues to grow as the gospel goes forth in our world. And more people choose to put their faith in him. And the kingdom will come in its fullness when Christ returns again. And we look forward to that day. And we pray for all these aspects of the kingdom, both present and future. When we pray, your kingdom come, it's a prayer for God's rule through Jesus the King. And then we pray for obedience to God's commands here on earth. And this is tied to when we pray for God's kingdom to come, his will be done. And the phrase is also telling us to make God's will and plans the most important thing in our lives. We're praying for obedience to God's commands, God's will here on earth. What is God's will? Well, we find it revealed to us in God's word, in the scriptures. And if you want to know God's will, then all you need to do is read God's word, study it, and learn it. You'll know God's will. It's clear there for us. And when we pray for God's will to be done on earth, we must commit ourselves to learning God's word, to living God's word in our daily lives. God's will is perfectly done in heaven. We desire the same here on earth. We are asking, as we talked about last week, that God would mold us, to form us, to be more and more Christ-like as we live our lives. And so at the beginning of the prayer, we're praying that God's name would be honored here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that God's rule would come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to then begin to then focus on God first in our prayers. And these are big, bold requests, seeking God's glory, his honor in all the world. But we can be sure that these prayers will be answered because Jesus is telling us to pray them. And then we move on to praying about our needs in verse 11 to 13. And Jesus teaches us to pray first to God, then to pray for our needs. Now, God does already know our needs, yet we are still to pray for them. And we talked about this last week, how our coming to God in prayer shows our desire to look to God first in everything. Our coming to God in prayer expresses our love for God, as well as our dependence upon God, and how we are putting our faith in God. It shows our desire for him to work in us and change us to be more like Jesus. Our Father in heaven already knows what we need. That is a motive for us to pray. It is a motive for us to come to God because he is our Father. And he is a Father who loves his children. And he wants to hear from us. He wants to meet our needs. And so Jesus teaches us to pray first for our daily needs, for ourselves and for others. God cares about the physical and spiritual needs in our lives. He created us with bodies that need food, clothing, shelter, and he desires for those physical needs to be met. Jesus came not only preaching the forgiveness of sins, but when you go through the Gospels and you read of Jesus' ministry, what else did he do? He fed the hungry. He healed the sick, right? He cared about people. He met their needs. He listened to people. And so when we pray, give us today our daily bread, it reminds us that even though we may work hard for a living, it is God who first provides us with that job, with that work. And we are to be thankful for that work. It is God who provides what we need. And the Lord's Prayer helps us recognize our rightful dependency on God for all that we have, everything we have. And bread is symbolic of what is necessary to sustain us, like food, clothing, health, shelter. We're to pray for our needs, not our wants. Jesus tells us to pray for our daily bread, not our daily cake with whipped cream and a cherry on top. Okay? Although that's nice and yummy. And God does typically bless us often over and above our needs. And we're so thankful for that. But we're to focus on our needs in prayer. We're to trust God to provide what we need when we need it. We're to live one day at a time, trusting God's timing to provide each and every day what we need, recognizing that all we have, again, all we have comes from God alone. We're to pray for what we need, not pray for excess. And there's no sin or shame in asking God to provide for your physical needs. He has promised to supply them. We should take today's needs to God and leave tomorrow's needs till tomorrow. And then we're to pray about our spiritual needs. And there's more spiritual needs mentioned than there are physical ones. And the reason is because our spiritual needs are greater than our physical needs and more important. And so we're to pray first for forgiveness of our sins that we've committed. Our greatest human need is for our sin to be dealt with. And so we're to come to God asking forgiveness of our sin. And Jesus tells us to pray for the forgiveness of our sins. For all have sinned and all need forgiveness. And Jesus uses the word debt here because we owe God our full obedience. That means when we sin, we disobey him, we're actually in debt to him. But Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts. And Jesus promises that when we repent of our sin, that he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sin. That is astounding grace. That is God's grace that we can experience. Try calling your bank tomorrow and saying, hey, would you mind just canceling all my mortgage debt? Or my car loan, or my credit card, your bank's probably going to laugh at you and go, ah, nice. When are you making your next payment, right? But God doesn't laugh at us with that. God, when we ask him to forgive us, he does. He actually does it. And Jesus teaches us that if we have been forgiven, then we are also to forgive others. Look at verse 14. It says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We're not to read this as though God forgives us because we have forgiven others. We know that God forgives us simply because we put our faith in Jesus alone. we are not forgiven because we forgive, but we forgive because we are forgiven. An unforgiving spirit will destroy you. It will eat away at you. It will fill you with bitterness, anger, anxiety, depression. There was a man who once said to John Wesley, he said, "I never forgive." To which Wesley replied, "Then I hope you never sin." A true Christian is one who has been forgiven and forgives. And so we can truly pray to God that he would forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The God we serve is a loving, gracious, kind, and forgiving God. And when we forgive others, we are experiencing godliness. We are living out Christ-like life now. And then lastly, Jesus teaches us to pray for deliverance from temptation and evil. Prayer for forgiveness is necessary because sin is a reality. But sin doesn't have to get the upper hand. And Jesus tells us to pray for victory. Now let's first remember that God never tempts us, okay? God does not tempt us. Look at James in chapter 1, verse 13 here on the screen. It says this, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." God is on our side. And when it comes to temptation, when your prayer can be confident in God, knowing that he will answer, knowing that he will deliver you. We can ask God to help us to avoid situations where sin becomes hard to resist. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." And so we need God's power to overcome evil and sin. We can't make it on our own. Don't overestimate your ability to withstand temptation. When temptation comes, when the temptation to sin comes in your life, as a believer in Christ, our response should be, "Deliver me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus." That is to be our prayer. And so after praying to God about his name, his kingdom, his will, Jesus instructs us to pray for our physical needs, our human needs, and for our spiritual needs, our forgiveness, and for spiritual victory. John Stott once wrote this. He said, "Thus the three petitions which Jesus puts upon our lips are beautiful, beautifully comprehensive. They cover in principle all our human need, material, daily bread, spiritual, forgiveness of sin, and moral, deliverance from evil." What we are doing whenever we pray this prayer is to express our dependence upon God in every area of our human life. And so it is good for us to know the Lord's Prayer. It is good for us to memorize this prayer so we can pray this specific prayer, but also so that we can use it to help guide us in our other times of prayer with God, in our other times of talking and listening to God. We can use these six sections of this model prayer that Jesus has given us. We can talk with God each day about the things that he wants us to speak to him about. We're to be praising his name, praying for the work of his kingdom, seeking and submitting to his will, asking for our needs and those of others to be met, asking for forgiveness, for the grace to forgive others. We're to be praying for spiritual protection for ourselves and for those that we love. And we can refer to the Lord's Prayer and spend time in each part of it. And as we follow Jesus' outline and what he gives us here and what he wants us to talk with him about, we will see the beauty of prayer. We'll see how amazing of a gift it is that we get to talk with God, listen to God. We were made to communicate with God. We were made to pray to God. He wants us to come near to him every day in prayer, all day in prayer. It is one of the greatest privileges we have in life. And so come to him as your heavenly Father who loves you. Come as one of his children. Spend time with him. Get to know him through prayer. We're going to close this time together praying the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to put it up on the screen. And I'm going to ask that you would stand and pray the Lord's Prayer with me. We're going to pray this together, and then the worship team will come and lead us in a final song. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship team, come and lead us.